Stay up to date on the green and gold all season. The Green and Gold Fix podcast is brought to you by Pottawatomie Casino Hotel. Luxury stay, elite play, unwind in sophisticated comfort. Win big, dine, and experience the events in Milwaukee.
Jordan Love is a rich man. 4 years, $220 million extension with the Green Bay Packers, reacting with you for the next 2 hours. I don't know if we're calling this something. I'm Alex Stroph. That's Gabe Neitzel. Are we calling this something?
The Jordan Love is a rich man extravaganza.
rich man extravaganza. Gabe Neitzel, Alex Stroph with you until 11 o'clock. They finally get it done. Day five of the hold-in. Practice four of the hold-in. And Jordan Love signs the extension. As I mentioned, 4 years, $220 million. Lots to get to in the next 2 hours, Gabe Neitzel. But first off, foremost, what everybody's wondering, what's your reaction, Gabe Neitzel?
It's about damn time. Because, and so I knew I was going to be frustrated whenever this news eventually came through. And the news came through again last night. And guess what? Basically the deal we thought it was going to be. So what were we haggling over? A couple million in the guarantees? And you always have to pay attention to the wording of NFL deals. So we know he's getting $75 million. That's guaranteed because that's a signing bonus. And then $155 million in new guarantees. Not quite sure what that means. Have to kind of, you know, get to the bottom of that. But if we were just haggling over a couple of million, this should have been done a while ago. He shouldn't have had to miss any practice. And that's the frustrating part to me, is it seemed like, despite Brian Gutekunst telling us earlier this offseason that they'd like to have a deal done before training camp, it seemed like training camp kind of crept up and, oh, I can't believe a training camp is here. We got to Monday and here it is. And we knew what the deal was going to basically look like. We knew it was going to be something around Trevor Lawrence. Trevor Lawrence was a very good comp for Jordan Love. And the second that Lawrence got that deal, you knew it was going to be something similar. And that's what it ends up being. So it's like, why did we waste all of this time over the course of this past week?
Bingo. You nailed it, right? The one big question I have is, what the heck took so long?
So Brian Gutekunst is set to speak today, 9:30, 9:45, something like that.
Yeah, we've got both Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst scheduled to speak between 9:30 and 10 o'clock this morning.
So, I mean, I'm hoping that's one of the questions of, and I know he likes to stand up there, well, these deals take time. What the hell were we doing all offseason, man? How did Lawrence get his done? How did Goff get his done?
How did the Lions
manage to get Penei Sewell, Jared Goff, Amon-Ra St. Brown? If these things take time, how did they get their top three guys on offense locked up the way they did earlier this offseason? So it's telling me a few things here. There's only a few, I think, logical things that you can take from this. One is, apparently the Packers actually don't value practice time. That's one. Two, Russ Ball is just dragged his feet to try to, I don't know, justify his job, maybe? I don't know. Like, these are the only two things that I can try to actually surmise as to why this took so long.
Elaborate on that real quick. Justify his job. What do you mean by that?
Nobody really knows what Russ Ball does, but he's on the same plane as Matt LaFleur and Brian Gutekunst, right? And he's supposed to be the cap guy. He handles contracts. We heard Goody say that this offseason in the latest Murphy Takes Five earlier this month when somebody had asked about the Jordan Love deal. He deferred to Russ Ball as well, saying, hey, contracts are Russ's. So this is a big deal. This is a big contract. You don't get to negotiate these all that often. And it seems like, I don't know if he dragged his feet to just kind of show to everybody else within the organization how important he is. But I mean, how else do I interpret why this took so long when the deal ended up being pretty much what everybody and their uncle knew it was going to be? 4 years, $55 million per year.
Yeah. I mean, you nailed it. 4 years, $220 million. It ties the richest deal in NFL history, as Gabe mentioned, with Trevor Lawrence and Joe Burrow on an annual basis. $55 million a year for the Packers quarterback Jordan Love. And, you know, there's a lot of things we need to get to this morning, Gabe. As, you know, one conversation we're going to have is this worth it? And I think the answer, obviously, is yes, right? You're paying based on potential. But for a guy that had, what, 8, 9, maybe 10 good games in a season, it's a really rich contract for a guy that is less proven than the brethren in the 2020 NFL draft class. Joe Burrow, Tua Tagovailoa, Justin Herbert, Jalen Hurts. Two of those guys have been in the Super Bowl. All of those guys have started multiple years. Jordan Love has started one season. And the first half of it was really bad. The second half of it was the best quarterback play in the entire National Football League. So is it worth it? Yes. But to your point, the big question is, what the heck took so long?
Yeah. Did the Packers not want to realize? Were they being stubborn in that? Because honestly, I don't think Jordan Love was out there asking for $65 million
no!
per year.
No!
I believe, and look, maybe I know I've had people in my mentions, the way we've talked about this on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, who believe that it was Jordan Love's camp who was dragging this down and mad at Jordan Love for not practicing this week. But I don't think his camp was out there making outrageous demands. I don't think they were out there asking for $60 million the way that Dak Prescott is going to be down in Dallas. Now, Dak, again, different situation because of the leverage that he's been able to create for himself. And it's a good thing the Packers got this deal done before Dak signs down in Dallas. But, I mean, everybody knew that this was it. Adam Schefter said it multiple times on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy when he joined us. You didn't really have a case if you were Jordan Love's camp at $55 million until Trevor Lawrence signed that deal. Once Goff signed for 53, you're thinking, okay, 52, 53, something in that ballpark. Lawrence goes up above it. Well, Trevor Lawrence is a very, he's started more years, but in terms of the success, the team success, very comparable. Very comparable 100%. Between those two. So once Lawrence got paid that, you knew you were going to have to pay. So I don't know if the Packers just were trying to squeeze every little dime out the way that they're trying to squeeze every little dime out of the city of Green Bay with their trying to get rent reduction despite, you know, $440 million in profit last year. Like it seems like to me that Love's camp was probably asking for something reasonable. Again, the agents know how this works. They're not going to ask for the sun, the moon, the stars. They're going to ask for what they believe is a reasonable deal. And it seems like the Packers just took way too long to finally meet those demands.
Yeah, that's the part I don't know that we'll ever understand. Because I don't think when Goody speaks in a half an hour, he's going to come out and be like, well, we were actually offering him 45. You know, I don't know that we'll ever get the answer to that.
So, and that's the other thing. So
he was lowballed. There's 0% of doubt in my mind. He was lowballed at some point. That's why it took so long.
Because look at the evidence.
Not like they didn't know the May 3rd date, right?
Yeah.
May 3rd was the day Jordan Love was eligible for an extension. And they legally could have talked about the deal.
Yes.
They could have negotiated prior to May 3rd.
Yeah.
May 3rd was almost 3 months ago.
Yeah.
It's not like they didn't know that date. So the issue I have with this, I don't have an issue with him being $55 million a year.
Nope.
I don't have an issue with him. What's the guaranteed money? Do you know that?
So it's a $75 million signing bonus. And then the way it was worded, I think by Rappaport yesterday, or maybe it was by Shefty too, $155 million in new guarantees.
No issue with that.
I'm not quite sure what that means. And it's always interesting the way that these things always get worded in NFL because there's like fully guaranteed and practically guaranteed. And now there's new guarantees. It's tough to always figure out. So I always wait just for Spotrac to get all the details. And you go on the website and check out the contract details.
Looking at you, Ken Ingles.
Not quite up there yet at this point because I don't know what new guarantees means. But to go back to, wait. How would you know that the Packers would have probably lowballed Jordan Love? Well, based on the evidence, Brian Bulaga talked about it this week on the Homer Hour and on Wilde and Tausch about how when he was going through contract negotiations, he got lowballed. It wasn't that long ago, Devontae Adams let us know that the initial offer for the Green Bay Packers to him was $17 million per year, which was a big-time lowball offer, and which is why he decided to play out his final year in Green Bay without a new contract, and then he catches in the way that he does ultimately someplace else. They have a history of lowballing people. It's what they do. It's how they operate. And they continue to do it here and decided to waste a week of practice with their new 155 new guarantee million-dollar quarterback.
Okay, so a lot to get into based off what you just said there. First off, let's do this because we've kind of beat around the bush on this. This deal is worth it 100%.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any doubts?
There's some concern, absolutely. Because, going back to the Trevor Lawrence example, 2 years ago, Trevor with a new head coach, and I know Jordan didn't have a new head coach, but after they had gotten rid of the bleep show that was going on prior to Doug Peterson arriving.
The bleep show.
It was.
That's how you refer to Urban Meyer?
Yeah, the bleep show? How else would you describe what happened in Jacksonville?
Well, when kickers are getting kicked, I guess that's not always a good sign. Continue.
But yes, and that was the least of his problems. But after Doug Peterson came in, it took about a half season for Trevor Lawrence to kind of get used to his new head coach. In the second half of the season, he was tremendous. Like 21, you know, I think it was 17 touchdowns, one pick, and they end up going and then winning into the playoffs and then winning a playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, Trevor Lawrence, I don't know if he regressed. I don't know if he just kind of plateaued, but there were higher expectations for Trevor Lawrence last year. Could that happen to Jordan Love?
Yes.
You know, that's so I have concerns, but at the same time, you made this bed. You now have to lie in it if you're the Green Bay Packers because you decided, okay, Jordan, you have to bet on yourself. Mm-hmm. Jordan said, okay, I bet on myself.
Worked out all right. Worked out all right.
Because he was the best quarterback in the NFL over the last 10 weeks of the regular season, he cashed in, he won. And once he won, you had to pay the market value. And because you decided to do it this way, you couldn't sneak in the way you did with Aaron Rodgers after his first six or seven games and get him on a below market value deal. Because you couldn't, as you mentioned, couldn't sign him to a deal until May 3rd. Mm-hmm. So you couldn't come in around Christmas or New Year's and go, hey, Jordan, how's 4 years, $45, $48 million a year sound?
Exactly.
You couldn't sneak that in. So once we hit the offseason, and I mean, all agents talk to each other.
Oh, they played that brilliantly.
Once they know, once they hear, Goff could be getting 53, all right, let's just sit tight.
Well, but the best part about this is, Gabe, and to your point, is his agents are also the same people at the negotiating table in Miami for Tua Tagovailoa,
yeah. Uh-huh.
Right? They have the same representation.
Correct.
So when they knew what Tua was getting at $53 million a year, 53.1, whatever it shook out to, that helps us a little bit, right? Because if you are a neutral party, would you rather sign Jordan Love to a long-term extension or Tua Tagovailoa to a long-term extension? Yeah.
Jordan Love.
It's not close. The ceiling is much higher. And when you talk about the rest of this draft class, right, Trevor Lawrence or Jordan Love, I'm taking Jordan Love.
Probably, but I think Lawrence is still really good.
I do, too. Yeah. I do, too. He's the number one overall pick for a reason. But same number of playoff wins.
Yep.
More impressive ceiling. More impressive ceiling.
We have seen a bigger ceiling out of Jordan Love so far, yes. I would agree with that.
So the issue I have with it, and not that I'm pissed off because I think today is a day of happiness, right? We're calling this the Jordan Love contractual extravaganza. Ashley, what are we calling this show? Contract extravaganza?
I believe the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza.
Okay.
That's what I heard someone say at some point, so that's what I've labeled everything as. So now you have to
contract.
Say that. Coming back from every break, you have to say those exact seven words.
It's a great use of the word extravaganza.
Yes.
By the way, that's Ashton Rotman running the show for us this morning. Gabe Neitzel, Alex Stroph with you. I would love to hear your reaction. 800-990-3776. 800-990-ESPN is your way into the Jordan Love contract extravaganza on ESPN Wisconsin.
Extension extravaganza.
I'm not going to remember that. Matt and Racine chimes in, 800-990-3776. Maybe Murph just wanted to spend time telling dad jokes, and he finally ran out of material. Now, that's giving me a visual, Gabriel, of Mark Murphy in his final year as the Packers CEO and president.
Mm-hmm.
Just sitting in the room trying to lighten the mood a little bit.
Sure.
Yeah, because that seems like him.
Oh, that's what he likes to do. He loves to do that. Loves to tell his jokes.
I went to the owners or shareholders meeting.
Yeah. How'd that go?
First time I ever attended that. God, was that boring.
I mean, it's a meeting going over financial numbers. How old are you? 26?
25.
25? You don't want to hear about that.
No,
what
I don't
do you care
about that. Well, I like they gave Goody a portion where he comes out and he talks about football. He goes position group, like State of the Packers that we do every summer at SummerFest.
Okay, sure.
But much, much faster, right? He doesn't go as in-depth as you, me, and Jason Wilde go every summer. But he goes position by position, talks about Keyshawn Nixon and Jair Alexander and everybody that he's really excited about and Josh Jacobs and Xavier McKinney. But as he got done, he left the stage. Brian Gutekunst left the stage. He left the meeting. And Mark Murphy walks up to the microphone. He goes, well, you know, Brian Gutekunst, very busy. He's got a contract to be working on. And everybody laughs and starts chanting, pay that man, pay that man. And Murphy goes, I'm not going to comment on Jordan Love, but I will say he's a very good quarterback, and we're working on a long-term extension for him. Didn't you just say you weren't going to comment on that? Unbelievable.
That's what he does best. I'm not going to say anything, but guess what I'm actually going to do?
I'm going to say a lot.
I'm going to say something. That's what he does best. I have a text here from Brant saying, the delay was on the agent taking care of Tua. Can't have one guy sign for the highest, then the next guy go lower. Had to get Dolphins to a deal first. No, I don't think that.
I disagree with that.
I honestly think that the Tua deal had nothing to do. And the entire time, I have not thought that the Tua deal had anything to do with Jordan Love. But once Lawrence was done, like, do whatever you want with Tua. You knew Tua was coming in under. But if you paid attention to any of, you knew that Tua was going to be, if he got a deal done at all, around $52, $53 million. I was skeptical that was going to happen because the Dolphins have tried to replace Tua at least two times. At least twice. So I wouldn't have been shocked if they maybe got a feeling if Dak, you know, kind of wait this out to see if Dak signed a deal and if Dak was going to be available in free agency that they would just throw a bunch of money at him. Ultimately, they decide to stick with Tua and make Tua their guy. But Tua, despite leading the league in passing yards last year, was never going to get $55 million. Was never going to happen, just like Jordan Love was never going to get 53 after Lawrence signed for 55. If you listen to all the reporters, like Adam Schefter and Ian Rappaport and Diana Rossini and all these people who are the insiders, they were basically telling us what these numbers were going to be, and they've done it for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, the Dolphins and Packers decided to wait a week into training camp before they got these deals done.
More so for the Packers, because their season starts 2 days earlier than the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it actually was a little bit quicker for Tua, who joins the top five paid quarterbacks now. And as does Love, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, all in there, all from the 2020 draft class.
And think about this as well, because if you're somebody who doesn't agree with me and Alex, and you're like, man, $55 million, a lot of money to give
a lot of money.
In 2 years, this deal is going to be a screaming deal.
That's a good point.
Because remember how everybody reacted when Patrick Mahomes got 10 years and $450 million?
Mm-hmm.
He's now not even a top 10 paid quarterback in the league.
He is not.
He is not in the top 10 of annual average value for quarterbacks in the NFL. That's how quickly deals that blow our mind become irrelevant right now in the NFL as they continue to print more money, invent days to play on, sell those games to streaming services, and continue to drive the price and the salary cap up and up and up.
It's a great point. Top eight highest quarterbacks right now, tied for first, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, $55 million a year. Right after them at fourth, Tua Tagovailoa, who signed a fresh new contract yesterday, $53.1 million a year. He got $100,000 extra per year over the number five quarterback now, Jared Goff, also a brand new deal this offseason. So just to recap the top five real quick, Jordan Love.
Yep.
This season extension.
Yes.
Trevor Lawrence.
Yep.
This season extension.
Correct.
Joe Burrow, not this season, but $55 million tied for first. Tua Tagovailoa, $53.1 million at fourth. That's this year. Jared Goff, $53 million per year. That's this year. And the following three are Justin Herbert at 52.5, Lamar Jackson at 52 per year. And number eight is Jalen Hurts, $51 million a year, also a 2020 quarterback. It's insane. What a draft class that was.
Oh, yeah.
Unbelievable. That's ridiculous that all of those guys have gotten paid. But Jordan Love, now the highest paid quarterback in the NFL in terms of average annual value. Unbelievable. I see the some reaction rolling in. 800-990-3776. 800-990-ESPN is your way in to the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza. That's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Alex Stroh. Aston Rotman here bright and early on a Saturday running the show. Good to have Ashy with us as well. Is this deal worth it? Does this put more pressure on Jordan Love? Is Jordan Love a top 10 quarterback? All of that to get into in the next 2 hours with you as we are with you until 11 o'clock right here on ESPN Wisconsin. Gabe Neitzel, Alex Stroh, Ashton Rotman with you. It is the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza. I think I got that right on ESPN Wisconsin.
We now return to special green and gold coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza. Air horns included in the title. Right here on ESPN Wisconsin, I'm Alex Stroff. Gabe Neitzel is with me. You get Gabe Neitzel all day long on ESPN Wisconsin. He and Jonathan Zaslow with you beginning at noon on ESPN Radio nationwide. Sirius XM Channel 80.
There we go.
Look at me go. So you're working hard today.
Oh, yeah. And me and Zaz, probably the two best guys to come in. Zaz is in South Florida, so he'll have all the
details, with
the Tua stuff. So this talk is going to be extending long into the day of Saturday. Now the Packers, you know, getting on the practice field and pads for the first time, presumably Jordan Love practicing.
Oh, he'll be out there. He's been itching to get out there, Gabe. Well, if it was up to him, he would have been out there all week.
Sure, but I guess, in again, the Packers aren't, you know, I think there are still members of the media waiting for the press release of Charles Woodson signing. Haven't seen the official press release from the Packers, and I can't imagine he's actually taking a step on the field until pen is put on paper.
Pen has been put on paper. Can I be honest with you? I've got a conspiracy.
Oh, hit me.
I think pen's been on paper for about 24 hours. I think he signed this yesterday morning.
I mean, that would also be very Packers-like.
Correct.
Yeah. Remember when they signed Julius Peppers and then told everybody 3 days later?
Well, he told everybody three
yeah,
days later.
That's true.
He tweeted a picture of himself in Lambeau Field.
It turns out it was like 3 days ago.
Yeah. The thing with the Love contract is, I as I said, I fully believe this was signed yesterday morning. And they've just kind of been chilling, right? And I saw a text here on the text line, 800-990-3776. Joe from Sheboygan, I think, is on my team here, Gabe. He says they have the same representatives. They wanted Tua to have his day, and they wanted Love to have his day. So by the time it was news dumped, yesterday was Tua's day. And what was it, about 8:03 p.m., I think this was announced?
It was 8 o'clock. I was
what
having
were you
fun
doing?
The River West 24 is going on right now.
Oh, yeah. Big weekend in Milwaukee.
Hanging out. I mean, the River West 24 is probably my favorite festival. It went by the house that I used to live in River West, and my friends still own the house. I have a friend who lives right next door, so we were hanging out.
You were having a few brewskis last night.
Oh, yeah. There was no going on the radio last night for me.
Same. I was at the Brewers game.
Okay, so there you go.
Believe it or not, I tailgated for a few minutes.
Oh, look at you.
Yeah, so there was no going on the radio.
No.
Which is why we got put on the 9 a.m. shift.
Yes, correct.
I'm feeling all right. Gabe, you're feeling okay?
I feel great. You got off to a little rough start, though, today.
What'd I do?
You forgot your keys.
Yeah, but I wasn't driving. I walked here.
Sure, but like,
what do I need keys for? To get in the building?
Hey, there we go.
That's why we call background. We don't need the full background, but at 8:50, I said, where are you? And you said, calm down, and then you didn't have your keys. So again, we don't have time for this, because Jordan Love extravaganza is happening, but let's be real.
Yeah, come on. Get it together, Strofe.
It's a fair point.
Get it together.
So the question I have, Gabe,
okay,
is all around pressure. Because I remember at State of the Packers every year, it's one of if not my favorite show we do every year. You, me, Jason Wilde. Every summer at Summerfest, we do, well, this year it was 3 hours,
mm-hmm,
where we do deep dives into positional battles and each position group and the overall state of the team. And this year, as we did last year, spent a lot of time talking about Jordan Love, rightfully so. Jason Wilde made a comment during our annual State of the Packers show, and Jason Wilde, by the way, will join us about an hour and 10 minutes from now, 10:35 this morning. I said we were with you until 11 o'clock. Well, I lied. We're with you until about 11:15. Adam Schefter, ESPN NFL insider, will join us at 11 o'clock. Jason Wilde made a comment during State of the Packers about how Jordan Love puts so much pressure on himself. And when you talk about now, Gabe, Jordan Love is the highest paid quarterback in the National Football League. Nobody makes more money than him.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, screw what I said. He's not the highest paid quarterback in the league. He is the highest paid player
Correct.
In the league.
Correct.
Right? There's nobody making more money every year now more than Jordan Love. Joe Burrow and Trevor Lawrence are tied with him. But Jordan Love is making the most money of any player on an annual basis than any player in the NFL. And when it comes to putting pressure on himself, I worry what that looks like, right? Is he thinking to himself, is he in a mindset of, oh boy, I'm the highest paid quarterback in the league. I got to play like it now, right? Is there added pressure for Jordan Love? Is he going to put a monkey on his back like he's Jim Harbaugh at Michigan when he couldn't beat Ohio State early in his tenure? Is there a monkey on Jordan Love's back now where he's like, well, I'm the highest paid quarterback. I got to play like it. I got to act like it.
Maybe, but what do you think is more pressure? Playing once you have secured the bag the way he has, and now you do have that pressure, and I'm not trying to say there's not, because there is, to perform, because when you pay your players, whether that's Kenny Clark, whether that's Jordan Love, you now have to perform like an A player. In order for your team to succeed, you have to perform up to your contract. That's the way these things work in the NFL. But do you think that's more pressure, or the pressure of pretty much playing for his NFL dream last year? If that continued to go south the way the first eight games went, Jordan Love, I mean, the Packers structured the deal. It would have been maybe a little painful, not as painful as the Rodgers deal getting out of that, but the Packers could have gotten out of that deal should they have chosen to do so if Love continued to play the way he did in the first seven or eight games. So is there more pressure on playing literally for your career and the dream that you have been working all your life for? Or is there more pressure now that you have, I mean, I don't want to say the word arrived, but that's kind of what you've done,
oh,
right?
Arrived.
Like this contract, Gabe, announces it.
USA Today is picking the Packers to be in the Super Bowl.
No, we don't talk about that.
Well, because they lose to the Jets.
Correct. Correct. We don't talk about that.
Well, we have to talk about the national expectations, though.
Oh, the expectations.
And we will at 11 o'clock with Shefty.
Yeah.
But the view on the Green Bay Packers, led by Jordan Love, nationally, is that they are the best or one of the best teams in the league. They are looked at as a team that should win double-digit games, that should be, in the conversation for not only winning the NFC North, but winning the NFC. And that's off eight good games in the regular season.
And a really good playoff game.
And a really good
and
playoff game. Really,
three,
two.
Three really good quarters of a playoff game. One and three quarters.
That fourth quarter.
One and three quarters, right. Really good playoff game.
Against San Francisco is what Gabe is referring to. yeah, I mean, he had a really good back half of the season. Like, really, really, really good.
Well,
he was better than everybody.
Statistically, he was the best quarterback in the NFL in the second half of last season.
Last season makes no sense to me still. Maybe we'll talk about this later. It still makes no sense. How are you that bad for, like, 5 weeks?
I mean, there were flashes, certainly,
there were
right?
Flashes.
You know, because, I mean, everybody thought he had arrived
but they weren't
after
put
the
together.
Bears game. No, they were stretched up, but that's because growth isn't linear.
Mm.
That's a Jason Wildeism.
There's a cliche.
Yeah, that's a Wildeism. Growth isn't linear, and it wasn't linear for Jordan Love last year.
So I worry about this year,
because
right?
Because there were still clunkers mixed in there. He was bad against the Giants. He got outplayed by Tommy DeVito.
Tommy DeVito outplaying him. But Gabe, that's my point, though, right? Like, I'm a little bit, I'm not nervous about Jordan Love.
Yeah.
That's not the right word.
Well, so this is why I don't want to say that he's arrived yet.
Because I don't think those are necessarily done. I think we're going to see some clunkers.
Oh, without
this year.
A doubt. I mean, Aaron Rodgers had really bad games.
Wow.
His MVP seasons, he had really bad. You know what I'm saying? Like, really bad games are still going to happen.
Yeah.
And there's a good chance.
So are you trying to sit here and tell me that that's normal?
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be worried about that when he's making more money than literally anybody ever has in the NFL?
Correct, because Rodgers has been the highest paid guy. I mean, think about some of the games. I mean, I think about the game, who was it against? When they played it in Jackson, was that against New Orleans to kick off
New
the
Orleans.
Season a couple of years ago? And Rodgers was terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Just awful. Then he went on and won an MVP. I mean, and Rodgers did that too, I think back in 2014. I mean, if you want to go even back even further, when the famous RELAX year. Mm-hmm. Packers were 1-2. Rodgers hadn't played that well. Turn it around, wins an MVP, they go to an NFC championship game. Like, mm-hmm. Bad games happen. Patrick Mahomes threw for less than 30 touchdown passes last year. He wasn't, lights out. Games are going to happen. And there is a very good chance that a rejuvenated Eagles team is able to do some things against the Packers in week number one down in Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't panic. All right, there are 17 of these things. And yes, everyone is very important, but every quarterback in the league is going to have a bad game this year. Sometimes they happen early, sometimes they happen late, sometimes they happen in the middle of the season. But the growth for Jordan Love still isn't done yet, because the growth for this offense, which is still one of the youngest in the league, is continuing to go. Because now you've taken that next one step forward. Now you got to take that next step. Who's going to emerge from that wide receiver group? Who's going to be kind of the go-to guy? Are you going to be able to run the ball a little bit more efficiently with Josh Jacobs? The offense is going to look different this year. The offensive line looks different this year. And that all factors in to Jordan Love and what he's going to be able to do.
The word that continually pops into my head, and has since May 3rd, when we started talking about the impending contract extension that Jordan Love ultimately signed yesterday. 4 years, $220 million, $55 million a year. What does that do to expectations? Let's dive into that a little bit, because I want to nerd out for a minute, Gabe.
Okay.
Because I don't know what this does to, you know, walking into the season, walking into Brazil in whatever it is, 5 weeks. What does that do? What are the expectations for a guy that is the highest paid quarterback in the league? We saw it with Rodgers, but Rodgers was a four-time MVP. Mm-hmm. He is a four-time MVP. He's still in the league.
Yeah.
What does that do for Jordan Love? I want to get into that a little bit next, if that's cool with you. You good with that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Aston Rotman, you okay with that?
Let's do it, guys.
All right, I love it. It's a Saturday morning special of the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza on ESPN Wisconsin. I think I nailed that.
Nailed it.
Thank you, Gabe. We will be back with you to talk expectations coming up next. I see your mean comments. I see your nice comments. I see your good texts. I see your bad texts. We'll react to all those as well coming up next. But I really want to talk expectations, because that is the thing that fascinates me most about this extension. What are the expectations for Jordan Love? We tell you coming up next. Gabe Knights and Alex Stroff with you right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
We're back with special green and gold coverage on ESPN Wisconsin.
On the fake, Love zips it in there. It's called for the touchdown, Romeo Doubs. And the route is on in Dallas. Wow.
Jordan Love, now the highest paid player in the National Football League. 4 year, $220 million extension for the Packers quarterback after one season as the starter. He is now the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the National Football League. Unbelievable. Good to see it. Good to see it. He deserves it. He deserves it after what he did. That's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Alex Stroff with you. Aston Rotman running the show for us this morning here on ESPN Wisconsin. Your way in is 800-990-3776. 800-990-ESPN. Your way into the show. You can call in. You can text in. I got a frog in this room.
Yeah, that's fine. Hey, it happens. After a night of tailgating at AmFam Field, it happens.
Yeah, tough game last night.
Yeah, not a great one.
I walked in. We were a little bit delayed. We were out there tailgating. Well, we were having fun. We lost track of time. We walked in. It was 3-0. The Brewers did not even score 3 runs. So, not ideal. I see your text. I will get to them shortly. But I've been waiting to have this conversation with Gabe Neitzel specifically. Because, Gabe, I don't know if you know this about me. I really like talking Packers with you. I think you have a very good mindset.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
You're negative sometimes.
Sure.
And maybe too negative sometimes.
But say that because I scared you going into last season.
Yeah, you did. And I ultimately ended up being right. I said that was going to be a playoff team.
Yeah.
And they were, despite the youth and being the youngest team to ever win a playoff game. So, expectations. It's kind of a scary word.
Yep.
When I accepted the job in Milwaukee to move from Madison here to Milwaukee, there was a lot of talk about, hey, this is what we expect you to do,
mm-hmm.
and this is what you can do, right? So for me, I'm like, okay, I gotta go through this and understand what they expect. Okay, I got it, right? Like, I can do that. For Jordan Love, $55 million a year is a lot of money. It's the most an NFL player has ever been paid on an annual basis. After one season as the starter, he is the highest paid quarterback, highest paid player in the National Football League. He replaced a guy who won 4 MVPs, Gabe. He replaced a guy who was the one seed in the NFL playoffs multiple times. When you are the highest paid player in the NFL, what does that do to expectations, right? We understand he is the 6th best odds to win the MVP this year, according to multiple sports books. What are the expectations over the course of this contract, 4 years, for Jordan Love?
Packers have to be a Super Bowl contender over the next 4 years.
Every year?
Yeah.
Including this year?
Yeah, I think this year is still more of a fringe. You know, I think things have to fall their way a little bit more.
But when you're paying him $55 million.
Sure, but it's... You had to, because that was the circumstances in which you found yourself upon. And this year, you're still not going to be paying him that $55 million yet. Now, the number is going to go up some because you can spread out the signing bonus over the 5 years, including this year, versus just the 4 of the extension that you tacked on the back end. So the cap number's still going to be down a little bit this year. But there's still growth that needs to happen within this team, offensively and, more importantly, defensively. And I think it's going to take some time for everybody to grasp what's going on. Plus, I think that their roster still has areas in which they need to grow. The Niners roster is better. The Lions roster is better. And not to say the Packers can't catch up, because the Niners are going to have to be shedding contracts here soon, because, again, you think this is a lot of money. Wait until Brock Purdy gets paid next offseason, and that number starts with a six. Wait for that to happen. That's going to drive the Brock Purdy conversation, and it already is. The discourse around that is bonkers. It's going to drive that even more insane. But this year, there's still more growth. But I think you want to see that. You want to see them to be able to build off of what they did a year ago. Be a little more competitive. Not necessarily. I don't think you have to win the division this year. Because, again, the Lions are still a really good team. It'd be nice if you did.
It'd be nice. I was just about to say, it'd be nice.
But I think you want to be a little more competitive in that, right? I think you want to get to that double-digit wins. You know, that's the old Mike McCarthy thing of the goals every year. Win double-digit games was the first one. Once you win that 10th game, kind of look around, see where you're at. Win the division's the second one. Then it's the playoffs games and winning those playoffs and checking those things off in order. And I think that's what it is. I think you follow that blueprint of this year's win 10 games. Look around, see where you are after you win that 10th game. And hopefully you're still competitive going into week 17, week 18 for the NFC North with Detroit. And maybe you end up winning it. It's certainly possible. They're a good enough team where it can happen. But again, I think that still with some of the youth, some things have to fall their way. They're going to have to catch some breaks, I think, to end up in a Super Bowl. Still possible, but it's not like the way I felt when they were the number one seed and lost in the playoffs to Tampa Bay and San Francisco, where it's like, oh, things don't have to break their way. They make their own breaks. That's how good this team is. This team's not quite there yet. They're on their way to being there. Think of the Green Bay Packers in 1995. And Chewy likes to talk about this team all the time. It was the team before they ended up going and winning the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And they played against the Dallas Cowboys in the NFC Championship game. First NFC Championship game that they had made, you know, since the 60s. And they didn't think they could beat Dallas. And then all of a sudden they found themselves up going into the fourth quarter. Holy crap, we can play with these guys. Holy crap, we can win this thing. And ultimately, Brett does some Brett things in the fourth quarter, and the Cowboys go on to the last Super Bowl appearance they've made since then. And that's where I think this team is right now. This team is starting to grow. This team is this, you know, there's still another step they need to take in order for them to be a legitimate Super Bowl team. I didn't go into 1995 as a kid going, oh yeah, this team's going to win the Super Bowl. I thought that in 96, but I think that's where this team is, where, yeah, if things break their way, they could be in the Super Bowl, but if things
like 2010.
Yeah. Whereas we're team, and then 2011, you felt really good about that team, right?
Oh, 15-1, yeah. I felt pretty good about that.
But I think that's where this team is, where next year I think you're going to feel really good because we're going to know who steps up. This year, they're still a really good team. And I don't think the expectations have to be Super Bowl or bust yet this year. But the expectations are coming where it's going to be Super Bowl or bust every year with Jordan Love with this contract. Yeah. Because that's what comes with it. And I don't know if you were one of these people, Strofe. I know Joshy was last year, and I think I was too, where last year was, especially the second half because they were winning games, some of the most fun you've probably had as a Packers fan because the expectations weren't there.
Yeah, 100%.
And it becomes, unfortunately, becomes a little less fun. Dude, not to say it can't be fun.
But this is a great problem to have,
100%.
Right? It's a great...
This is a first-world NFL team problem, right? Like, first-world, you know, like... Oh,
I love that.
Oh, no, now we have expectations, right? Like, you know, this isn't the Carolina Panthers, you know? This is a problem. It's not, like you said, a nice problem to have.
Yeah. No, I love that. First-world NFL problems. Yeah, no, and typically by nature, Gabe, and you know this about me, and anybody that's listening who hasn't heard me before, maybe doesn't know this, but if you listen on Green Bay Game Day or Kyle Bruston-Ortman or Mr. Relevant on the slew of shows I'm on, you know I am a glass half full Packers fan. I am typically super optimistic. Today I'm optimistic because, as you said, the first thing you said when you cracked the mic at 9 a.m. was, it's about damn time, right? The old Lizzo-ism. It's about damn time. And so I'm happy about that. But The problem I'm having in my brain this morning is, could this backfire?
Oh, absolutely.
And that's the problem I'm having.
Absolutely, because, it could backfire.
Because I think we're so, as Packers fans, naturally, we are optimistic by nature. And that's because we've been so good for 30 years. We did it again, right? So that's what today should be about. It should be the celebration that we did it again. As a fan base and as an organization, you went from Brett Favre to Aaron Rodgers to another franchise quarterback, MVP candidate. I don't know that the first half of the season last year is necessarily going to just poof, disappear. I don't know that that's done, right? Like, I still think Jordan might have some blunders. He might have some games like Detroit on that Thursday night last year where it's just, oh my God, I don't know that he's the guy.
Yeah.
Right? And I know he's the guy because I saw enough of it in rhythm, right? I saw enough of it in the second half of the season into the postseason where I thought to myself, yeah, he's a franchise quarterback. But does that necessarily mean what we saw in the first half of the season won't reappear? I still think we're going to see some blunders this year.
Oh, because that guy showed up from time to time. He showed up in the Giants game, showed up in the fourth quarter of the Niners game.
Some really bad passes.
You hope that he can learn from that, because also in that Niners game, he probably had the best throw of the year, rolling left and just throwing a dart to the sideline 20 yards down the field, which still is just seared in my brain. But... I think that's what you have to focus on, is you know that the really good player is in there. Like, this doesn't feel... What Jordan Love did last year in those last eight games doesn't feel fluky the way it felt fluky for those five or six games that Joe Flacco had when everybody in Cleveland had Flacco fever last year. Like, Flacco was still kind of doing some Flacco stuff.
Your national radio is showing Flacco fever.
Yeah. People had Flacco fever. I had it too, man. I had a bad case of Flacco fever.
Comeback player of the year.
Yeah, but and then the regular Joe Flacco showed up in the postseason.
He did.
And he was making some big plays, certainly, but he was still putting the ball in harm's way and still turning the ball over. Where Jordan Love was playing really clean, good, high-level football. And that doesn't mean that, again, some of those bad games are going to creep up. Happens to everybody. Tom Brady's last pass as a Patriot was a pick six, and he still went on to win another Super Bowl. So those games are going to happen. I think that especially if they happen early, you have to be willing to go, okay, that good player is in there and it is going to come out. You have to have trust in the floor. You have to have trust in the coaching staff, and you have to have trust in Jordan Love that good player is still in there, especially if they get off to a slow start. Now, if they get off to a quick start and then he has a bad game week four or five, you're like, oh, okay, whatever. We know the good guy's in there. He had four good games, one bad game. Who cares, right? But if it happens early, that's where I can see Packer fans going, do we make a mistake? And by saying, no, you just got to have faith in this team the way that you had faith in them late last year.
Gabe Neitzel's so good at radio, man. I love listening to him. Gabe Neitzel, Alex Strope with you here on ESPN Wisconsin. I see the texts. I see the comments. I want to get to those coming up next, but this one's too good to save for the break. From Dave and Aaron. I'm glad the deal is done. Word on the street is the holdup was about how many Super Bowls Jordan Love is guaranteed to win. Six or seven they landed on. Dave from Aaron. That's so good. That's so good.
That's why he hasn't officially signed it. They're still haggling over the official number that they're going to put in the contract.
How many Super Bowls is he guaranteed? Six or seven? Yeah, I'm good with that, Dave. I'm good with that. Dave's good with that, too. I think Gabe's good with that. Gabe Neitzel, Alex Strope with you. It is the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza on ESPN Wisconsin. We'll get to some of your reaction. I see it all pouring in. We appreciate you hanging out with us on this Saturday morning. Keep it coming. 800-990-3776. 800-990-3776 is your way into the show. Jason Wilde, 10:35. Adam Schefter, 11 o'clock. Jordan Love, baby. The Packers quarterback. He's extended 4 years, $220 million, $55 million a year. Holy smokes. Ashley, do I talk about my contract extension with you? Are you the suit I have to talk to?
I believe you have to talk to Gabe, actually, weirdly enough. It's the craziest deal, yeah.
Gabe, am I?
Gabe is Russ Ball.
Can I do it?
When did I get promoted?
I don't know. If that's mean, then that's why I said it.
It is mean. I felt offended.
Is it mean to get compared to Russ Ball?
I mean, have you ever thought it was a nice thing?
I mean, he's pretty good at his job. He just lowballs people. Yeah.
I don't know if he is good at his job.
Oh.
Is he? I don't know. I'm honestly just asking.
What a tease by the pro.
I don't know that we can really dive into whether or not Russ Ball is good at his job on the show.
I don't have an answer to the question, Ashton. I'm genuinely asking if Russ Ball's good at his job. I have no idea.
I think the answer's yes, but I think Goody is so good at his job that Russ Ball hasn't had to do a lot of work recently.
Sure, that's
right?
Fair.
Look at all the rookie deals.
I've got different issues with Goody, but
Go ahead.
Well, I mean, so this offseason, he has stepped up to the podium and told us three things. Well, to the podium twice and then appeared on Cheesehead TV and told us three things that ultimately became untrue.
Aaron Jones will be a Packer.
Aaron Jones will be a Packer. Well, then he lowballed him and Aaron Jones wasn't a Packer. He goes on Cheesehead TV and says, oh yeah, we'll have a Jordan Love deal done before Kenny Clark. And then he steps up to the podium and says, oh yeah, this would be, we'll have this done before training camp.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's nice that he speaks more than Ted Thompson did, but, I mean, when he's telling me things that aren't actually true, I don't know if there's any value in it.
It's a good point. It's a good point.
All right, your reaction coming up next, 800-990-3776. Also, you can chime in on the YouTube chats, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee. This is a good day. I feel like me and Gabe are being a little negative, but that's kind of what we do, man. When we get together, we nerd out. We nerd out. I love it, man. We're having fun. 800-990-ESPN, 800-990-3776, ESPN Madison, ESPN Milwaukee. On YouTube, would love to hear from you. Your thoughts on the Jordan Love extension. 4 years, $220 million, $55 million annually for Jordan Love. He is the highest paid player in the National Football League. We continue our reaction next, right here on ESPN Wisconsin.
The Jordan Love extension is complete. Talk about it with us here on ESPN Wisconsin.
It is a love story. Jordan Love said yes. 4 years, $220 million. Ashton, be nice.
I like it when Ashton's got a little bit of edge. I wish.
He called me a B word.
Yeah, no, I didn't. My best friend, yeah. Real quick, the 30 seconds is on weekend mornings. My fiance, she doesn't like get up early ever. I love her to death, but uh-oh. I'm always just like awake and I'm like, what am I supposed to do right now? So now you guys are getting all this morning energy.
I love it.
I also love it. That's Gabe Neitzel, Alex Drove, Ashton Rotman running the show right here on ESPN Wisconsin. We have titled this the Jordan Love Contract Extension Extravaganza on ESPN Wisconsin. This is so dumb. This is what we do for a living.
Yeah.
This is the best, dude.
This is exciting.
We have cool lives. Jordan Love, oh, man, he has a pretty cool life, too. Cha-ching. Cha-ching, Ashy. $55 million a year. Unbelievable. 800-990-3776 is your way into the show. Gabe, how do you feel about going to my old stomping grounds? You want to go to Stevens Point real quick?
Let's do it.
Levi in Plover, which is just outside of Stevens Point, the suburb, with all the cool things. You know, you got a Walmart in Plover, got a couple restaurants in Plover, you got a Chili's in Plover. It's just outside of Stevens Point. I went to school in Stevens Point, for those of you unaware. Well, let's go to Levi in Plover. Levi, what's going on, my man?
Hey, Stropey, it's good to talk to you again, my friend. And your glasses looking styling.
Oh, styling and profiling,
styling
baby.
And profiling. Woo!
Woo! All right. I bought the Jordan Love thing last night. I'm happy for the guy that he's got paid, though. And it didn't really surprise me how much it was. But I'm just glad this thing is over with. And we'll see how this goes with him. And let's go, Pack, go.
Well, so what are your expectations, Levi? Do your expectations for Jordan Love change because of the contract?
Honestly, Gabe, I would say no. Well, I don't know. I'm not Jordan Love, but I think the expectations are still up there. But he has to still prove that he can make that money. But I'm sure he will, though. But it's not going to be easy for him, but he'll do everything he can to help his team win and try to go for the Super Bowl. Hopefully this year, but if it's not this year, maybe next year. Who knows?
Next year. It will be, I think. Always good to hear from Levi in Plover and Stevens Point area. Yeah, the expectations are interesting.
Again, that's the complicated thing, I think, for a fan. I don't think that necessarily your expectations are changing because you saw the potential that he had. And your expectations were, we found our next guy. And if the expectations for Brett and Aaron before him were championships, then that's the expectation that's what we're building towards. That's what we're ramping up for with Jordan Love.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Regardless of what that number is next to his name in the contract that he signs.
So Daryl,
who is a he's a farmer out in the Madison area. Love Daryl. I don't know if you know this about me. This is my coolest humble brag in the entire world. There is a cow in the world named Baby Strophy.
Oh, wow. Was not enough. Not aware.
Did you know that? There was a cow named Baby Strophy, named after yours truly. Daryl chimes in. He is a Niners fan. I just want to tell you that before I read the text.
Okay.
Don't forget that in the final game with the season on the line against the Niners, Mr. Irrelevant led his team down the field for a game-winning touchdown.
Yeah.
While Love spit the bit.
Yeah. That definitely happened.
That happened, Daryl.
What did Mr. Irrelevant then do in the Super Bowl? In overtime?
Spit the bit?
Yeah.
I think he spit the bit.
Yeah, it's... It happens.
Dude, actually, and I imagine you'll talk about this coming up at noon with Jonathan Zaslow on ESPN Radio. This Brock Purdy situation is going to get really interesting. It's about another year until he has to get paid.
Yeah. Because it'll be the same situation. You always want to pay your guys.
Oh, he's going
to
get paid.
Oh, yeah. These players don't want to go into their last year of their D without something tacked onto the future.
Yeah.
And that's what we're going to be doing with him. Obviously, Dak Prescott, that's all going to... And again, this is why signing Jordan Love now. Yes, he's the highest paid player in the NFL. He's not going to be the highest paid player in the NFL for that long. He just won't because, I mean, again, Purdy's coming up. Dak's coming up. These contracts that are going to be continuously getting done. This year's crop of... By the time we get halfway through the Love deal, he might not even be top five in the NFL in terms of annual average value.
Yeah, I'm curious how that will play out, right? Like, in 3 years, because on that final year of the deal, he's going to expect an extension, just like Kenny Clark got, right?
Yep.
As you get deeper into contracts. We don't have to get ahead of ourselves because he'll probably be a two-time Super Bowl champ and a three-time MVP by the time
and
we get there.
Then you just pay him whatever.
Yeah, you give him $800 million a year. I don't care, right? He's going to be better than Aaron Rodgers. No, I'm kidding. But I'm intrigued to see because the expectations, and we'll dive more into this in the 10 o'clock hour, and just to give you a quick rundown of what we've got coming up. Goody and LaFleur, Matt LaFleur, have both taken the podium. We will hear from them coming up. We will talk expectations again. We will hear from Jason Wilde, 10:35, Adam Schefter, 11 o'clock. And I'm not nervous. That's not the right word.
You keep telling me that, and it makes me think you're a little nervous.
I'm feeling a little antsy.
Sure.
And I
there's been some, so we, again, we have done this for an hour, you know, we've done this for an hour, the Jordan Love contract extension extravaganza.
Ding, ding, ding.
And you felt, but I didn't think you would be this apprehensive, where it seems like you want to celebrate.
I do.
Because, I mean, again, this is big news. The Packers have their guy. He's locked up. He's going to practice today. He's going to be a full go in practice today. Awesome. Great. Let's keep this train rolling. Let's keep this Packers train rolling. And yet, there seems to be a little bit of hesitation from you to be all in and celebratory about this. Why is that?
Are you a psychologist? I mean, you nailed that. I worry more than other people about what we saw in the first half of last season, Gabe. Right? I said it earlier. I don't think we can forget about how bad he was.
Yeah.
Right? He wasn't good the first half of the season. He was really, really, really good second half of the season, into the postseason, and three quarters against San Francisco in the NFC divisional round. But I don't want us to forget how rough the first half of last season was. And now you have the highest paid player in the entire NFL quarterbacking your team. So that typically means, hey, we expect him to be the best player in the NFL, right? Money equal, you get paid what you're worth. That works in your job. That works in my job. That works in, you know, anybody driving down the highway, a 94 or
if you've got a
43.
Skill, if you've got a skill, you get paid what people are offering for that specific skill.
Bingo. And with Love, he is being paid as the best player in the NFL. I'm a little bit nervous that he's not that yet. Because he's not that yet.
He's absolutely not the best player in the NFL. None of the guys in the top 10 are the best player. There's one best player in the NFL.
And that's Patrick Mahomes.
And he's the 11th highest paid quarterback in the NFL.
Yeah, but we have to understand in terms of overall guaranteed money, he is the highest paid player.
Sure, sure.
But on an annual basis, he is the 11th highest paid player in the NFL.
Correct.
Patrick Mahomes is. What if Love looks like the first half of last season?
For an entire season?
Yeah. What if, let's just say he has a bad half again. But let's say it's the second half of the year, right? Let's go Jalen Hurts from last year.
Okay.
Right?
You kind of inverse
the Eagles, the Eagles were 10-1 to start the year.
Kind of feel like you back your way into the playoffs versus and going in with the momentum.
And you stumble in, and then you lose in the wild card. Right? Let's just say that happens to the Packers.
Yeah.
In January, when it's freezing cold outside, and we're sitting in here doing Green Bay game day, Green Bay game night, I know it. At least I speak on my behalf. I assume I can speak for you. The coolest part about our job is when we get to come in here and talk Packers on a Sunday.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And what if we're coming in here and we're like, yeah, he looks like trash, man. It's week 17, and he's sucking. That's what I'm nervous about. I think he's MVP good, but I'm a little nervous.
But you're not sure that he's MVP good?
Not consistently. And the word I've used consistently, pun intended, on Mr. Relevant, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, available wherever you get your podcasts, is consistency. That's the word I've used all offseason. That's what I need to see out of Love. Because we didn't see last year game.
That's what separates. That's why Patrick Mahomes is the best player in the league.
He's consistent as hell.
Because he's very consistent. Yeah. Even like his bad year last year, they still went to a Super Bowl because he was consistent. It was very obvious it was kind of the weapons around him that ultimately slowed him down. For Patrick Mahomes last year. But that's what separates. A lot of guys, the league is littered with guys who've had a good year, a good half of a season. The ones that really truly separate themselves are the ones that can perform year in and year out. The Josh Allens, the Lamar Jacksons, the Patrick Mahomeses.
Yeah. No, you're right. That's Gabe Neitzel. I'm Alex Stroff with you here on ESPN Wisconsin. I see your phone calls coming in. I see one from Phil in Cedarburg that really intrigues me, Gabe. So a little peek behind the curtain here. So Ashton Rotman's running the show for us. The way we see phone calls is your name, your city, and what you have to say in one sentence. For Phil, I will read it verbatim. We will get to Phil and Justin in Middle Tennessee as well. We'll get to you on the other side. From Phil, it says, "This is so much money, I'm against it." So I don't know what that means. I'm really intrigued to see what Phil has to say on the other side. Also really intrigued to see what Justin says. I will read Justin's for you as well. It says, "Thinks Love will be motivated by the money." I'm intrigued by that. I'm intrigued by both of these phone calls. I see a bunch of texts coming in. If you want to get in on the phone line, let's do this. We'll run phone calls next segment to start the 10 o'clock hour. We're going to run phone calls. So get in right now, 800-990-3776. How do you feel about the Jordan Love deal? 4 years, $220 million, $55 million a year. I really want to hear from people. I love hearing from Gabe, but I'm kind of sick of him already. We're an hour in. 800-990-3776.
Just go to the other room, guys. You guys can just hang out.
Yeah,
go
hang out the dark Third Street Market Hall here in downtown Milwaukee. 800-990-3776. We're rolling phone calls coming up next. Jason Wilde, 1035. Adam Schefter, 11 o'clock. We're with you this morning right here on ESPN Wisconsin. It is the Jordan Love Contract Extension Extravaganza.